We're joined on the phone now by Tom Jensen, the Director of Public Policy Polling, based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. And you can find more news and numbers and analysis on Twitter as well, at PPP Polls. Tom, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So last time we spoke a week ago, we talked about how really the trends for the 2020 election have been kind of flat to the point of almost being boring. The one boring thing about 2020 is that there hasn't really been a whole lot of change in the polls, a little bit of a post-convention bounce for Donald Trump that settled back down. So things have been kind of flat in terms of national numbers and state level here in North Carolina. But that doesn't mean that individual polls can't show different things and changes. And we've seen a couple of those kind of outlier polls coming out in the last week or so in various states. One of them looking really good for Donald Trump, another looking really good for Joe Biden. Certainly that affects the media coverage of the election when we get one of those surveys that shows something a little bit different from all of the other surveys that have come out. So what do we tell us, first of all, about these outlier polls? They both came out of Marist College. What do we make of polls like this when we see them in media coverage?
Well, sometimes you're just going to have polls that are not what you expect, and I think that's fine. It's not an indictment of the pollster. It's a perfectly natural thing to have happen. But I think what is not really good is that those tend to be the polls that by far and away get the most media coverage. And the way that sort of which of those polls get all the attention is chosen tends to be whatever would let people think that the race is changing one way or the other. So as we've discussed, most of the polls since the conventions have been pretty solid for Joe Biden, showing him with a steady lead like he's had all year. And then all of a sudden on Tuesday, Marist University put out a poll saying that Florida was tied. And not only that Florida was tied, but that Trump was narrowly winning Hispanic voters in the poll. There were about 100 Hispanic respondents in the poll, not very many. And the media just lost its mind that, all of this totally over-the-top coverage that Biden was cratering with Hispanic voters based on this 100 of them in one poll in Florida, and that the election was, starting to massively tighten and Biden was in so much trouble. And I think that poll got more attention than any poll I've seen get attention, maybe this entire year, but certainly anytime recently. And what was really funny is that the next couple of days, polls came out showing Biden still up in Florida by 2 or 4 points, stuff like that. Didn't see the media talking about those at all because they were only interested in the narrative that the race was tightening. And one other incidental thing that's sort of funny about this happening with a Florida poll in particular is that Biden doesn't even need to win Florida to win the election. Florida is sort of an icing on the cake state for Biden rather than a state that's really sort of key to his path to 270 electoral votes. So even if you accept the premise that Biden has a problem in Florida and it's tied, that doesn't necessarily mean that he all of a sudden has some huge amount of trouble in the race overall.
So when you're looking at surveys, then what should we be looking for?
Well, I think for the most part, you just shouldn't be looking at individual surveys at all, especially when you're within 7 weeks of the election. Are we within 7 or 8? I think it's actually 8.
I think it's actually 8, yeah.
I wish it was 7. when you're
it doesn't matter. It's going to feel like 145.
Yeah, I think that's right. when you're within 8 weeks of the election, 54 days, there's going to be a massive number of polls every day, and I think you just sort of have to swallow those polls holistically rather than picking out individual ones to be interested in or to get really excited about or to get really freaked out about. I mean, this is sort of the nature of Democrats, but, they were practically having a funeral for the election on the internet on Tuesday because of this poll all of a sudden where Biden was tied in Florida. It's just like you just have to go look at all the polls together, and not just all the polls together for Florida, but all the polls together for all the states to get that overall picture. And the overall picture remains that Biden leads in the battlegrounds. It is certainly not an insurmountable lead. He's up by 4 or 5 points. In some ways, that's not that different from Hillary Clinton's lead in 2016. Of course, if we just, as we have discussed before, one difference this time is that there aren't very many undecided voters, so that makes it less likely that Trump can come back in the way that he did the last time around. But certainly, I think, you know, it's healthy for either side to think of it as being a very close election and to not leave anything on the table.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling, and I know, like, follow your advice, and I look at aggregate numbers more than anything else, so I'm kind of obsessively checking 538 every day because they do a good job of aggregating all of the polls. And the one thing that the 538 guys have a tendency to emphasize is when we do get those outlier polls, the ones that show a different result, that's actually a good sign, because it's an indication that pollsters are actually doing it right, as opposed to like trying to get a particular result. When you're getting a bunch of different results and you can aggregate it all together, that's an indication that that aggregate number that you're looking at is pretty reliable.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the other thing that's sort of interesting about the obsession with outliers, and you sort of referred to this in the opening, is that so Marist has this poll in Florida on Tuesday. It's tied. Everybody loses their mind. Then Wednesday morning, Marist has a poll that shows Biden up by 8 in Pennsylvania. And in the last week, there have actually been a good number of polls showing that Pennsylvania is pretty close, that out of that Midwestern triumvirate of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Pennsylvania might actually be the one that's the most perilous for Democrats this year. I saw almost no discussion all day of Marist having Biden up 8 in Pennsylvania, because that did not push the narrative that the media wants to sort of do of the race is really tightening. So it was sort of funny to see the same pollster, two battleground polls in a 24-hour span, and they told two completely different stories about the state of the race. And for the most part, the people who cover polls decided to only cover the interesting result that was good for Trump and to more or less ignore the interesting result that was good for Biden. So I think that is just something for people to be aware of in the media coverage over the next 8 weeks, especially if they don't follow the polling terribly closely, which is perfectly reasonable and healthy not to do, is that a lot of the time, if you are just sort of going by what the media decides to really push out there and give attention to, you're going to end up hearing more about the extremes on either side. And if you hear something and you think, oh, you know, I was under the impression that, you know, Biden was actually generally ahead in Florida, that is true. But there's going to be, I think, a lot of tendency when things come out like this tied poll in Florida for that to be what gets all the emotional energy.
There is definitely an incentive to make the race look closer than it necessarily is. I know people tune out the Super Bowl when the Patriots are up by 45 in the fourth quarter, as opposed to when it's super close there and potentially coming down to the wire. So we're speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling. And you did bring up a couple of points in there with respect to the race that are worth picking apart a little bit. Number one is that the race does seem to be a little bit closer in Pennsylvania versus Wisconsin and Michigan. Any sense why that might be?
I think it's because more of the vote in Pennsylvania comes outside the major urban area in the state. Like Michigan, for instance, 50% of the vote comes from Metro Detroit, but Pennsylvania, only 40% of the vote comes from Metro Philly. So there's just more rural vote where I think that Trump is really cleaning up for him to do well in. The thing that's really interesting is that Wisconsin is sort of turning out to be, like, it looks like the safest of the three Midwestern states that flipped to Trump closely in 2016. And I think at the start of the year, most people would have expected Wisconsin to actually end up being the closest.
Mm-hmm.
And then with everything about Kenosha over the last 2 weeks, I think people thought that was going to help Republicans in Wisconsin too. And it just doesn't seem to be the case at all. There have been a number of polls showing Biden up by 7 or 8 points in Wisconsin over the last 2 weeks. And we also have that sort of real-world indicator, that Supreme Court race they had in Wisconsin in April, in some ways was a bit of a test run for the general election. Democrats won that by 11, the first election that really was held with COVID causing voting difficulties. So that was sort of an early sign this year that it might be a good climate for Democrats in Wisconsin. And certainly the polls keep reinforcing that. Although the day that there's a poll with Trump up by one in Wisconsin, you better believe you'll hear about it.
and then last question, going all the way back to that Marist poll in Florida, which one of the narratives out of that was that Biden isn't doing as well among Hispanics as we might think. Now, that's potentially an outlier poll, not very many Hispanic voters surveyed in it. But is there, like looking at other surveys, is there a larger sense of how Biden or Trump is doing among Hispanic voters?
So in general, the polling is showing the race among Hispanic voters to be a little bit closer than it was in 2016 when Hillary Clinton won an overwhelming victory. But another thing that's a definite truth is that it's really hard to poll Hispanic voters compared to other groups, and that in the last few elections, there's been a real tendency in polls to underestimate how well Democrats do with Hispanic voters. So, for instance, in 2018, some of the states where Democrats got really underestimated in polls were places like Arizona, Texas, California, that have very heavy Hispanic populations. And the polls maybe would find that the Democrat was winning by 20 with Hispanics, and in actuality, the Democrat was winning by 40 with Hispanics. So there definitely is polling suggesting that the race is closer with Hispanics this time around. But I also think it's possible that when the returns come in, it's going to turn out again that the polling was just underestimating Democrats' lead with Hispanics, because it's just a uniquely difficult group to poll because of language barriers and just general things that can make it harder to reach Hispanic voters and get a good picture at how they're thinking about things.
Get more numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. More numbers and analysis as well on Twitter at @PPPpolls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.